In today's episode of Dana Delivers, we're exploring a fascinating journey that intertwines a not-so-great experience during COVID-19, a subsequent pseudo-midlife crisis, and a deep passion for fine wine and hospitality. Today, we'll be chatting with Damon Rocky, the driving force behind The Bottle Bank, a stunning 6,000-square-foot tasting lounge that's soon to open its doors in the Atlanta area. Damon is bringing the essence of Napa and Sonoma to life with a curated selection of wines, delicious artisan bites, fine dining, and exclusive membership perks. Join us as we delve into Damon's personal journey and discover the incredible story behind this exciting venture. From private dining and cellaring to wine by the glass and so much more, The Bottle Bank promises to be an unforgettable experience. So grab your glass and let's explore.
Damon, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. It's great to be here.
So, Damon, let's start a little bit about you and how you got into this food and wine business. And then we'll talk a little bit about Bottle Bank and how we took the two and combined them.
Absolutely. So I was in financial services my entire career in sales and consulting. And before I was in the wholesale side of the business, I had a retail advising practice and started working with a lot of restaurateurs and chefs and GMs of different concepts. So I got a kind of an informal education on the restaurant business, and I always loved hospitality in general. And after 15 years working for a Fortune 100 company, I had just become a little restless and a little bored and a little stagnant. And at the end of the day, when COVID came around and our company went through a pretty significant change in their distribution, I ended up not having a seat at the table. So I found myself in a midlife crisis, so to speak, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with the second half of my life. And I was kind of reminded of a conversation that I had had with myself back when I turned 40 and was doing some self-reflection about what I wanted for the rest of my life. And what I realized was that for me, the answer was very simple. I wanted to eat great food, and I wanted to drink great wine, and I wanted to travel to amazing places and stay in beautiful hotels and have amazing experiences with people that I love and care about, who love and care about me.
I have that conversation with myself every time I think about buying a lottery ticket.
There you go. If you won, what do? And that's kind of the conversation I had. So I knew that when I really thought about it, the very best moments of my life were centered around some combination of those things. So when I thought about what I wanted to do with the second half of my life, I determined that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create an environment, and I'm going to create an experience where like-minded individuals can eat great food and drink great wine and hang out with people that they love and care about and create some amazing experiences. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea for Bottle Bank.
Awesome. So I was going to say, and that's how we come up with Bottle Bank. So for those people who don't know, Bottle Bank is not open yet, but opening hopefully very soon after listening to this. Tell us a little bit about Bottle Bank and what it is.
Yeah. So initially we were looking at wine storage as a business. And when I was researching wine storage facilities, literally all over the world, most of them were just a basic warehouse at 55 degrees where individuals stored their excess capacity in terms of their wine collection. And what blew me away was that there was nothing experiential associated with that. And what we decided to do was, under the premise that the only thing that wine collectors and wine lovers love more than buying wine is drinking it with other people.
I think sharing it, right. I was going to
exactly
say sharing it with other people.
It's so communal. It's such a connective thing that, you know, people that enjoy wine love to share it with other people and love to share it with other wine lovers. So we said, hey, what if we created this wine-centric hospitality concept that allowed people to not only store their wine, but more importantly, enjoy it in a beautiful environment surrounded by all the wonderful things that wine lovers love to do. So that's what we set out to do, and we're well on our way. So we're excited.
Right. No, that's great. And I couldn't agree more. I was recently in Napa area in Yountville, and sitting at a restaurant, and these other people by us were all wine connoisseurs and started opening bottles, and I had no idea what I was drinking. And then when I looked afterwards and saw how much wine I drank, I almost died of the price tags. But it's fun to be the person who doesn't collect to be there too. And I know you guys are going to offer that experience as well. But you talked about there's a wine storage component, there's a place where you could enjoy it. How does this work, right? Because we all know different states and different jurisdictions, there's all these rules around liquor. So talk me through how do I, if I am a collector, but I want to drink, What does the space look like?
So the space is about 9,000 to 10,000 square feet. So if you think about a regular restaurant, those are typically 3,500 to 4,500 square feet. So it's a very ambitious project in terms of space and scale. And when we sat around and talked about what wine lovers love to experience, we love going to wine dinners. We love going to wine tastings. We love having a beautiful environment, not a wine bar or a restaurant, but you know, going back to your experience out in Yountville, some of the wineries out in Napa are just absolutely beautiful. And think about velvet couches and comfortable chairs. And again, just a very warm, highly textured, highly layered environment that just sets the tone where people want to stay and they want to hang out and they want to have conversation and they want to interact. So we thought about the space in general. So our lounge is about 4,000 square feet. We've got a big, beautiful center bar that's going to have a very extensive wine by the glass program, a great wine by the bottle program. We thought about when we're drinking wine, what do we love to do? And everybody loves to eat cheese and eat charcuterie and eat chocolate and have dessert. So we put together a really deep, really robust cheese list and charcuterie list, artisan selections from all over the world. We put in 4 different tasting rooms along with a private chef's table and an omakase tasting counter for cooking classes. I would put an executive chef on staff where members can have access to our private chef to customize private dining experiences. So whether you're entertaining clients, business associates, or you're having that anniversary or that birthday, and you've got those 3 bottles that you've been saving for 20 years to drink at your 50th birthday, you can sit down with our chef and say, hey, chef, we want to serve these wines. We want a 6-course tasting menu to pair perfectly with these wines, create that customizable private dining experience. In addition, we'll have about 3,000 square feet of cellared space, perfect cellar conditions where members can store their wine regardless of where they source it. So if they buy it from their local wine shop, if they buy it online, if they buy it from an allocation list or a wine club, they just got back from Napa, they sign up for a wine club, we can accept their shipments. We can store it on premises for them to drink it in the lounge. They can come by and grab it at their leisure for experiencing it at home. So really just a playground for wine lovers.
And you started saying before, wine lovers and collectors aren't always the same person. So I have 3 great bottles of wine at my house. I could bring those in. I don't have to store my wine at Bottle Bank to be able to enjoy it there, right?
Correct. So we were pretty thoughtful in terms of the business model. In Atlanta, private clubs are kind of having their moment. There's been a few around for several years. There's been several that have been added the last couple of years, and there's even more that are coming online. So you know, having been a member of various private clubs, one of the things that I didn't like about private clubs was sometimes I would go and it would be empty. There was no environment. And I was kind of thinking, what am I really paying a membership fee for? Basically, it's access to a room to buy an expensive dinner. So I don't really see the value in this. Sometimes I would go and it would be full, but it would be full of the same people that I would see every single weekend. So I'm listening to the same jokes. I'm listening to the same stories. And so the experience just got a little stale. So we kind of said, what if we create this experience that's semi-private in nature? So again, wine being very communal and very connective, we wanted to be open to the public, but those individuals that just wanted a beautiful space and a beautiful environment to hang out in. And maybe they've started drinking wine and they're curious about it. They know that they like it. They want to learn more. So the ability to experience a wide variety of wines by the glass, the experience to come in and you know, go to a wine tasting, the opportunity to take a wine class and feed that aspiration that they have around wine. And then for those that wanted to experience Bottle Bank on a more elevated level, we'll have an optional membership program that comes with the ability to store your wine and have access to the members-only lounge and the members-only events and the tasting rooms and the private chef and all of those other types of amenities. So, you know, we really think we've got the ability for individuals that are new to wine, as well as those that have been into it and are serious collectors and have been for several years. We think there's something for everybody. So that's the plan.
It's so fun. I just love the idea. And I know, kind of changing the topic a little, we talk a lot about experiences and what we like and what we don't like. What are some of your favorite places you've been that you've been able to like pull inspiration from? And feel free to name them, only the good things, though. We don't like to say bad things about anybody.
You know, it's funny. I think on the wine side specifically, the funny thing about wine, Dana, is it really only grows in beautiful places.
I know. So great.
It really is. Whether it's Greece or Croatia or Spain or Portugal, it's all those places. So I've had wonderful opportunities to taste all over the world, and the people and the energy and the stories and the passion and the history, all of that, the culture, all of that made me fall in love with wine. Some wonderful experiences I've had out in Las Vegas. There's wonderful places. There's a place at the Rio, an old place called the Cellar, which is fantastic. Been around since the 1990s, and that's a fun place to go drink wine.
See, when you keep talking about the trend, for the listeners, I usually know the answers to the questions. This one that I don't. You were in finance. You talked about that, and you talked about the midlife crisis and where you are now. When did you do all this wine tasting and travel?
So part of my job, I was handling distribution for a Fortune 100 financial services company,
right,
for the entire Southeast. So part of my job was entertaining. I was entertaining a lot of clients. I was doing a lot of private dinners, private dining. I was going on trips and hosting qualifiers. I was fortunate throughout the course of my career, I had the opportunity to do some pretty amazing things in some pretty amazing places. So I've gained inspiration from literally all over the world, things that I've just kind of tucked in the back of my mind. And one of my buddies kind of interestingly said, when I was conceptualizing this, saying, hey, I think I want to do this, he kind of stopped and said, Damon, your entire life has been about this moment. You just haven't realized it yet. And as we've been designing the space and conceptualizing the idea and putting together the experiences, it's really amazing how all these flashbacks of things I've done and seen and experienced and the people I've done it with. And it's just, it's been kind of, my life has kind of flashed through me in a very, very beautiful, very significant way the last couple of years. It's been a wonderful experience.
It's like that movie, like This Is Your Life. And all of a sudden, every single thing is like, oh, that was from that one time with that one person when we ... That's so
it.
Fun. So you're not doing this by yourself. How did you find the people you're doing Bottle Bank with and opening this with? And what's everyone bringing to the table here?
So we've got a crackerjack team we've put together. My best friend and my business partner, Rich Dry, came on board a couple years ago as I was conceptualizing things, just again, being a best friend and just being a consigliere and a source of support and encouragement. As I was talking to him about the concept, he kind of said, hey, I think this is a heck of a business and I think we'd have a lot of fun. Let's do it together. And I said, absolutely, because you know, he's somebody that I admire and I trust, and his skill set is just absolutely fantastic. And we complement each other in terms of, you know, the way we attack problems and the way we think strategically. And again, it's a really, really wonderful partnership. And then at that point, we sat out to really put together the operational team and the team of consultants, because he comes from a varied background, serial entrepreneur. He's done stuff in financial services and digital media and real estate. So again, his skill set and my skill set really comes from a traditional business background without any operational experience in terms of hospitality. So again, kind of calling on my past experience and the relationships that I've made.
I'm going to challenge what you said. You said you had a lot of operational experience. You had none in terms of hospitality. You had none in terms of restaurant and food and beverage. But it seems like based on the stories you're telling and the stories I know about you, hospitality has always been ingrained in you, right? It was only a matter of time before it became a food and beverage career, right?
I appreciate saying that. I think there's some truth to that. You know, I think not having the traditional experience and getting into hospitality in a traditional way is actually a huge asset that we have, because we come at it from a different approach and we look at things a little bit differently. And as we talk to very successful operators here in Atlanta and other parts of the country, when we were describing Bottle Bank and what we wanted to execute, a lot of them just kind of didn't get it because they only saw everything through the lens of a traditional restaurant. So we're constantly having to challenge the traditional way of thinking around how you run a restaurant, the revenue model, how it balances, the experiences we can provide, the things that we absolutely don't want to do, the things that we want to do really well, and just be incredibly focused, but in a very different way. So I think our experience has served us well. And the architects and the designers and, you know, the attorneys and, you know, you and the team at Aprio had really just been fantastic in terms of rounding out the rough edges and, you know, kind of giving us an insight into some of the things that we need to educate ourselves on to be ready for the journey ahead.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can't wait to come visit. So for those listening, when are we opening?
We're looking at a summer 2025 opening. So we're knee deep in the design phase right now, coming up on the construction drawing phase where we'll fold in all the mechanical and electrical and the plumbing stuff, apply for our permits. Construction will start after the first of the year. Then we're anticipating 5 to 6 months on the build out for a mid to late summer opening of 2025.
And if somebody wants to store wine, when do they reach out to you? Yesterday?
They can reach out to us yesterday. They can reach out to us today or tomorrow. So bottlebank.com has all the information in terms of contacts and the waiting list for membership and all the updates and all the fun thing. We have plans in terms of kickoff parties and hard hat parties and tastings and all these things we're going to do as we get closer to opening. So bottlebank.com has all the information, and we look forward to hosting everybody very soon.
Yes, and I know here at Aprio, Neil, have it now documented. We'll definitely be doing some fun events there, you know, come next fall. So, Damon, thank you so much for joining me. I love hearing what's going on. I love our constant updates. So to you and the team over at Bottlebank, good luck and thank you. And we'll be speaking soon.
Well, thanks for having us and we appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Dana Delivers. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I want to encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and share it with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who could benefit from it. We have great conversations with top leaders in the restaurant, franchise, and hospitality space, where they offer their knowledge and expertise and give us valuable insight into these industries. If you have any questions or observations you'd like to share with me, please reach out at dana.zukovsky@aprio.com. or visit our website at aprio.com to learn more about all the different ways Aprio can help your business. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to delivering more valuable content soon.